You are listening to a recording of the 2016 Mission School, sponsored by the Orthodox Church in America. This school was made possible by a generous bequest of a faithful member of the Orthodox Church in America in order to advance missions and evangelism in the church. The Holy Synod of Bishops of the Orthodox Church in America blessed that this school be held annually around the country and would bring together one clergy and one layperson from each diocese to be trained in the practical aspects of mission and evangelism. These students would in turn bring the knowledge they gained back to their parishes and dioceses. For more information on the OCA Mission School, see the OCA website at oca.org. This final session was held Friday morning, August 25th, 2016.
Just in 10 seconds, repeat the question.
Final session of the OCA Mission School 2016, and we're discussing what I'm taking back with me, one thing that I'm taking back with me to my mission parish or my parish from this week together.
Right. Developing a unified vision of making disciples, that it's not about necessarily the building, it's not about how fast we grow, it's not our, you know, this demographic versus this demographic or this demographic, about actually establishing communion, not just a group of people that get together and go their separate ways afterwards, but actual communion based in the Eucharist and being involved in one another's lives to a greater degree. And that was really encouraging to me, because when you see all of the things that you have to fill out for your deanery reports, your diocesan reports, and the OCAs, and it, I don't know about the rest of you, but I sometimes get this, you know, get down and think, well, it's all about numbers, and I'm not growing fast enough here, and I don't have this much money, and I don't, you know, but this has been an incredible encouragement to me, because I know that our church, our dioceses, our national church, is not about numbers per se. They're about disciples. And that I will carry with me always.
Take what you take it home from with you, Bill. One thing, just very briefly. One thing.
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Okay. You can go sit over there.
Yes.
Can we go?
Sure, yeah, sure, we'll come back.
Sorry. I think that's a great point, you know, unified vision. In terms of practicality, though, I just now learned about what you guys were talking about with the funeral service. You know, that was honestly a question that I had.
Cool.
What are good ways to, and appropriate, you know, orthodoxly ways of, you know, ministering to people in ways who may not understand who we are, and what a fantastic way, you know, in terms of funerals. So I'll go back and I'll write the funerals. I'll go introduce myself to them and
cool,
you know, to the funeral homes and offer that service. So, thank you.
Mine would be that order, you know, that Father Tim mentioned, I think, came from Father Dan Kavalik, of you do it in this order, worship, fellowship, education, stewardship. I appreciated that. I thought that made sense.
Inspiring and practical information. I found out here that matters, that numbers actually really do matter. Doesn't matter how long it takes, it's a number. It doesn't matter how many people you have, that's a number. But it does matter how much money you've got to afford a priest. So, that's a real practical outcome of this, because, you know, if you want to be able to afford a priest, you know, you've got to be able to figure out how to do that. Mm-hmm. I've learned about some mechanisms that, you know, that the OCA offers. I also realize we got some work to do in our parish and our little mission station to get to that level.
Okay. I would agree with Father that it's a that what I'm taking is establishing a unified vision, but that has to simultaneously happen with also creating ministries and outlets, because there's only so much I can do personally as one person or my wife and I, and it takes the body of the church to create a real mission, you know, but it has to start somewhere. So you have to create that unified vision, but at the same time, start opening avenues for that to happen.
Mary.
Similarly, I feel like I'm leaving with a very renewed sense of, we can do this. And we can do this. You know, it's a church-wide, we are not up in Alaska by ourselves. Yeah. We have brothers and sisters and Orthodox family members who are in other places fighting the same battle that we are fighting. And together, we can make a difference for the church. And we can impact people with the love of God together as a church body. It doesn't have to be, what can I do, which is not very much. What can Herman do, which is not very much. What can, you know, individually, we're not so successful. But together as the body, all of us together who are, you know, I've met people who have a similar vision. We can do this together. And it just helps you feel a little plugged in, like, oh, okay, we can do this. Here we go.
Not alone.
For me, I think the biggest one was, we always talk about our church, you know, is about love and about, you know, expressing that love to each other and to people outside. But being able to ask that question, what does love look like, in the place that I'm at, was very good. I think it gives me a way to talk about it to other people and to be able to evaluate if what we're doing is about getting numbers or whether it's about actually showing that love. So that's an important question I think I can ask, and I can ask it in a number of different ways, but it gives me a way to evaluate what's the purpose of what I'm trying to do, be it in terms of outreach or even in terms of working within my own parish. I think that was a good way to put it.
I've been looking over my notes, trying to think about what I'm really taking away, and it's, for me, it's an answer to a question I had for God, and that was expressing a frustration, God, why don't you just appear to everyone and attract everyone to yourself personally that way? And it occurred to me, Jesus brought these apostles in, empowered them to create other apostles, and then sent them out that way. And I'm saying, well, that's a great strategy, but why? Why, God? Why didn't you just come to each person? You have all the time. You could do it. And then I realize he's not just restoring a communion with each individual person, but he's also restoring a family. And so one thing that I'm taking away from this is we need to restore a family. We need to empower others to restore this family. And that's why Jesus didn't do it alone, and that's why each individual one of us can't do it alone. And, you know, it's right on the screen. Apostleship is not just the work of specialists, but a vocation for the entire church. Metropolitan. That's what I'm taking away. It's right on the screen. Wasn't in all my notes.
Thanks be to God.
I think for myself, one of the things I'm taking away is the centrality of living a life of joy in Christ. He saved us. We need to share that with others. But living authentically is what people see. And if the clergy do that, and if lay leaders do that, the rest of the parish and the world around us will see.
Thank you.
I had a lot of things, but when I started out, I made a comment about what I was hoping to get.
Yeah.
And the very, very severe frustration and agony that I was facing. And I don't feel I have all of the answers, but I do feel that I have in front of me a pathway that I can follow to find the answers. And I have your email.
Father John's and Father Dan's and Father Eric's and Father...
Yes, yeah. That's true. And I have your email.
Because I'm going to refer you to them, you know.
Chauffeur.
the big challenge that I heard this week was many, but the one that sort of stands above the others came from Father Dan Kabalik. In a parish like mine, where we are trying to replace a kind of metropolia mindset with a mission mindset, I heard that challenge in addition to administrative contact and pastoral contact. In a mission setting, you need to have face-to-face contact to build relationships between 8 and 15 hours a week. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm taking back.
That's powerful.
For me, the nugget was that you start with the little things. I've heard it a million times, but I'm going to go back now and try to find the couple of things I can do without having to get a bunch of approvals and whatever, to just start the work and trust that it will come.
Well, first let me just say that I've had a great week. I really enjoy the academic setting, the sitting around and talking and that kind of thing. I haven't got to do it a lot since college, you know. So that's been great. Secondly, this is a strong cast of characters. I mean, there's some bunch of manly men that have been in this room all week, and there's just a lot of thoughtful, insightful people and very iron sharpens iron kind of stuff. And that's been a great blessing. I come from, as I mentioned before, I come from the Reformed theological Presbyterian Calvinist tradition, and there's very few people that are Orthodox. Yet, when I always say when they become Orthodox, they're going to be the best of the best, and they're going to take over hell. But they ain't got there yet. And so I felt very much kind of like out in the Siberian wilderness for a couple of decades now, and so I don't get interaction like this with really sharp, solid people that are really going after it. So it's been a real cold drink of water for me.
He says with hot coffee in his hand.
Yes.
Best coffee in the room.
Best coffee in the room, that's right.
Thank you.
A couple of things about the leaders, which I've really appreciated, which is it's been very clear, hey, we're all looking for all kinds of ideas, too, and hey, if you've got a good idea, go for it, and you know, there's no silver bullet. That was very established at the very beginning, and I really like that. It's like, hey, you know, we're all out there fishing with anything we can find, too. So that was, there's some humility there, I think, and some openness. And then secondly, just brokenness. I think your talk at the very beginning, talking about how you felt like, you know, you were a failure at OCMC. Probably not, but, you know, that's what you're sharing with us. And I think that was off of a question. That wasn't even scripted. You know?
No, it wasn't scripted. Sure wasn't.
But that really... That was very powerful, and it spoke a lot to me, but it gets to my main takeaway for the week, which I got in the first session, you know, Price of Admission, which is the goal, our mission statement is to make disciples, and to really unpack that phrase, it's theosis, striving for theosis and bringing others along with us who will strive for theosis with us. And what that's done for me is it's very liberating. It's like... Nobody can stop me for striving for theosis.
There you go.
Except you.
Yeah, if everybody stops coming to the mission, I can still become like Christ. If the mission is shut down, God forbid, I can still be like Christ. So it's been very liberating for me to rephrase our actual mission statement for why are we doing this, which was a great question. That's my main takeaway. Very powerful.
Let's go to our Canadian friend, and then I'll say a word.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of my main takeaways was that Americans can actually play basketball.
It's no wonder you've been stripped from the priesthood.
Already. Already.
That was a good night last night. It's going to be sore for 2 days. Yeah, that was a winning team. Anyway, what really impressed me, I mean, I got a lot of things out of this week here, and is the enthusiasm of the young priests. Like,
to have that kind of enthusiasm for the Orthodox faith is really good. So I really took a lot from that and want to see the church grow, of course, and it's only going to be by the young people and the young priests that are here. Of course, the old fellows too, of course, and there's no doubt, but, you know, I have the wisdom and the humor that the instructors have and the knowledge. Father, you have great knowledge in mission work. And to bring that to us who have, myself, hardly any knowledge on this subject, on these subjects. So one really thing that really stuck out with me was the 10% to the community foundations for people out there in our community. If our church blew up, would they know we'd be gone? You know, something like that. So, I mean, for me, it was quite enthusiastic of the presentations, of the presenters, and I will take a lot of things back to my church and try to implement, you know, as much as we could.
Remember, I introduced my only claim is that I'm a beggar showing other beggars where to find bread. That's all I do, and you know.
I would like first to say how inspiring it is to be together with you all. I hope it was clear from my presentation that I do not have this figured out, but for some reason I was asked to come and raise questions with you all. But it is entirely inspiring to me to see the mosaic of our Orthodox Church in America. Well, I mean, picture this. I mean, actually, here we are. We are the mosaic of the Orthodox Church in America, from east to west and from north to south. The only ones missing, Mexico.
Yeah.
And that's probably a language barrier only. I mean, the vast majority of them, if not all of them, don't speak English, so it would not benefit them to come necessarily. But think about that. It's remarkable how the breadth that we have here. I would like to say one word about Alaska, and that is, you know, whatever you all may think while you're in Alaska about, you know, the harshness of life there, in every sense of that word, you know, if it weren't for Alaska, none of us would be in this room.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what propels me all the time, and I'd say that to my people all the time, especially when the Alaskan Saints come up. I trace our parish roots back to Alaska. So, you know, fight the good fight over there. You know that your Saint Herman and Saint Innocent and Saints, etc. No offense to them for not naming them all. You know, without them, there would be no mission in America at all. And that's inspiring to me. I hope that you all have taken my humor as a sign of endearment and not as a snippy little thing. I know it can go either way sometimes. Two other things I would like to add just by way of reference for you all. Number one, there is a website which might be helpful to you called goodnews.oca.org. Goodnews.oca.org. It's an attachment to the OCA's website, which is for the Department of Evangelization. It is mostly static, but it's mostly static because I lack the time and energy to keep it active. If you have a gift of activity in that department, I would be more than glad to have your assistance, or if you know someone who is, that we can keep it a more, you know, peppy place that is news and other resources constantly. Goodnews.oca.org. On that website, you will find specifically three handbooks on the front page. The first handbook is the Handbook of Missions. That was established by Father Eric. Probably Father David, you were involved in that. Father Ted Pastarchuk. It is a bit dated. It needs to be updated. Nevertheless, the ideas in that book are incredibly helpful to review regularly. I mean, it'll tell you things like, go through the phone book and look at all the names that end in, you know, Ofsky or whatever. Well, there's no phone book anymore, really. So, you know, how would you do that?
The white pages.
But it gives you a method of questions just to say, oh, I haven't thought about that in terms of finding untapped.
How many have gone to this, that know about this manual?
It's worth looking at.
Yeah.
You could read it in PDF form on your Kindle on the way home if you download it while you're here.
Absolutely.
That's the first one. The second one is a stewardship manual that was written by somebody 10 or 15 years ago in the OSA. It's the most hidden of all documents. I put it on the front page there because it is a most beautiful description of biblical stewardship that I've seen written from an OCA perspective. And the third one is the document that's kind of ongoing by the Christian, I forget which department it is, but it's the Handbook of Resources, which is like, we started a bookstore, we started a funerals for, you know, indigent people, we started a whatever ministry. It's the book of all kinds of ministries that people have started, so you can find that there. Those three I hope you would find beneficial. And then you'll find a page of, you know, all kinds of PowerPoint presentations that people have given on 1,000 topics like this over the last decade. God bless you. So, anyhow, I hope that will be helpful to you.
I would say, you know, Father John is the director of this, our Department of Evangelization, and that is quite a mantle. And what he ends up doing is being a servant of servants over and over and over again. And he, it's just a real honor to work with Father John. I had the privilege of knowing him from the beginning before he was Orthodox, and he met me 2 weeks into ordination.
Right.
At the 2002 All-American
That's
Council.
Right. That's right.
And we met, and he was on a journey, and I was on a journey, and the Lord brought us together ever since. And that's, it works this way for those who, you know, only a very small group of people, lay or clergy, are equipped to start, well, to be Orthodox, okay? I mean, we have such a small percentage in the country. Then you take the percentage of those who would be able to start mission work or revitalization work as mission work. And now we're down to a very tiny percentage in our church, which we're working to change. Mm-hmm. But when we find each other, that's great hope. And that is my take home from this. I go back to Alaska now, and I need it desperately as I go back. Because already I have emails, I have phone calls that are announcing the latest crisis in Kodiak, you know, which is, I've gotten used to that now. It's not phasing me like it did in the first semesters. But already there are crises to attend to. My life is hid with God in Christ. There's my identity. There's my power source. Okay, but you are carrying me back to Alaska. Your prayers, your encouragement, being with you this week has been just what I needed. The Lord knew that in returning to be able to serve again another semester. Yeah.
I want to say two things. Is that when things start getting incredibly difficult and hard and despair starts to set in, try to remember St. Hermann. That he, even though he was a saint, he didn't know he was a saint, but he and the mission essentially failed miserably. But from that seeming failure and complete loss to the point where St. Hermann was it, he was the last one. And he was out on a desolate island with a few orphans, and that was his mission. He transformed all of Alaska and America and North America from what seemed to be an essential failure. And I'm sure that St. Hermann felt that I'm a loser. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And here now he sees God's huge plan for all of America. And that is both a consolation and an inspiration at the same time. What looks like a failure in our eyes is not a failure in God's eyes. And that he has a plan and a purpose and a bigger picture that we can't see, you know. But so when things get really difficult, remember St. Hermann and think of St. Hermann on a lonely island in the middle of nowhere. The other thing is, I think it is extremely crucial and essential that we stay in contact that we support each other as sort of a mini brotherhood, you know, within the church, because we've gathered together, we have this ethos, you know, we have this inspiration together, and we have to keep that inspiration together and try to encourage each other, check up on each other, and to, as was said in the last All-American Council, to expand the mission.
We have a page, and it would be easy to ask Father Eric to set up a Google group with the people, given, send invitations to join it, and then we could just send a message to the Google group, and it would automatically go out to everybody, and so we could have that done. We could have that follow-up courtesy of Google. It would be easy.
So who's going to be the spokesperson for that?
Let me direct. Well, you're doing evaluations back to Father Eric. He wants a statement from you. Feel free to ask him that. Father Eric, do you want to suggest how we stay in touch? How we, and the emails are on the are given to you, the contact information, and you can follow that up. Let him or Father John, with the Department of Evangelization and that sort of thing. Talk together and let's see where it goes. But I agree absolutely that we would like to stay in touch. So, and we're available to you. I want to take you back to, as we close today, with Proverbs 29, 3 through 4, where that Living Bible paraphrase says, "A house is built by wise planning, becomes strong through good sense. By keeping abreast of the facts, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious riches and valuables." I mentioned at the very opening session, and it's been referred to a couple of times in your book that you got, this is a treasure in so many ways, and in the epilogue. And I wanted to look at that epilogue, it's so brief, and to look at it together. Let me actually bring it up for you if you don't, assuming that you probably don't.
Is that your son's marriage?
Yeah, that's last summer, over a year ago now. That's our middle son, Ethan. Andrew's on the left, our youngest son. That's Lauren Macrina holding our grandson, James, by sub-deacon Patrick, deacon-elect Patrick, who will be ordained this coming weekend in Richmond, where I go to from here this afternoon now to see my grandsons and to be with Lauren and deacon-elect Patrick. So, yeah, that's he's holding Walter Nicholas. And my parents are there. Those are my mom and dad. My dad's 86 and still holding a Bible study for the men where they live, and visits three companies every week as a chaplain at 86. And mom is 80 and has a women's Bible study and a women's group.
Are they Orthodox?
They're not. But in their hearts, they're more Orthodox than I am. I promise you. My dad now, he's a retired Methodist pastor, of course, and dad now sends people to the Orthodox Church. And I think if they live near a vibrant Orthodox parish, anything could happen, but they don't. And so, you know, anyway, thank you for your prayers for our family. But this is from the epilogue. Therefore, missiology is an apt name for the task that faces the Orthodox Church. Mission work, both at home and abroad, is not optional, but vital for the life and health of the Church. There is a real sense in which Orthodoxy must grow or die. This study has attempted to take the pulse of the patient and is able to report that there is life. Remember, he's writing as Dean of Wheaton Graduate School, with a name like Stamoulis, somebody who was turned off by ethnic Orthodoxy, as it was presented to him early in his life and what he saw. However, what has been witnessed must continue and must be added to. The future demands more than a handful of mission specialists. The Orthodox Church needs to train large numbers of theologians, priests, and lay people who see the need to communicate the gospel of Christ. Anything less, and the critics will be right, there is mission thinking, but no real study and work of mission, no missiology, no practice. Thus, it is possible to issue two challenges to the Orthodox.
And this is actually the statement that I keep with me, actually, in my Bible when I'm on the road. Two challenges. The first is on the level of the theoretical study. Are resources being channeled to the work of evangelism? And mission? Is thought being given to the Orthodox witness to the world? How can the claims that the Orthodox Church makes be true if more effort is not invested in carrying out the discipling envisioned by its Lord? The beginnings need to be encouraged. Orthodox theologians need to think along Orthodox lines and develop a missiology that can aid the rest of the churches in their task. We're doing that this week, aren't we? Some of it we have some answers to. Others are open-ended questions in debate and pastoral issues that we continue to wrestle with and look for guidance and pray for guidance on in our time and in our setting. Orthodox take pride in their witness to the truth, and rightly so, Dean of Wheaton Grad School. However, the focus is misplaced if it is on the pride and not the witness. What is needed is not to emphasize the triumphalism of a glorious heritage, but to reveal humbly that heritage. Translation, contextualization. The second challenge concerns the Orthodox Church itself. The theologians write beautifully of the witness of the liturgy and missionary structures of the congregation. But if this is the case, why, especially in the diaspora, are some of the churches centers of social activity that exclude outsiders? Can Orthodoxy break out of its cultural mentality so that it can witness? While there are positive trends opposing ethnocentrism, many problems still need to be resolved, which we acknowledge here. It is interesting to note Makarios Glukarev's judgment that the Russian masses were only superficially Christian and therefore inadequate for the great apostolic task God had in store for them. He has a chapter on Glukarev. If you haven't read him, he was well ahead of his time missiologically, and we would resonate much with him here this week. Is that judgment accurate today? It would seem that similar criticisms come from Orthodox writers even now. In the present framework in which the theological treasures of Orthodoxy are preserved, are they able to present those treasures to the world? There are real questions that need to be faced, and in some cases are being faced by Orthodox theologians. Just as Glukarev saw the need for educating the masses, so today the education of Orthodox congregations must be a priority for Orthodox mission. What can be said then? Is the treasure so embedded in earthen vessels as to be unusable to the world? The answer comes from the gospel itself. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. The transcendent power of God can be seen in greater glory against the background of earthen vessels. The vessels need only let God's glory shine.
Is he active Orthodox?
Oh, no. He's not Orthodox at all yet. But Father Eric kept alluding that the dialogue continues. He's been on my prayer list ever since I began to work in my doctoral studies. He was a part of that process. And so I turned to him because that was one of the foundational texts we had to work with in Orthodox missiology. So now back to the PowerPoint slide so I stay on track.
Padre.
Yes.
2 minutes.
Thank you. So, at this point, with Father Eric's blessings, we want to present to you certificates of completion as Fishers of Men.
I think that picture's photoshopped.
Yeah, I think so. So, I want to do two things as we do this. We have the certificates that have been done beautifully by the Chancery and Father Eric to pass out. These can be used for to verify CEU credits and stuff like that that we do. If a person has left already, we'll get these to Father Eric and they'll be mailed
They'll be in his hands, but they've done a lovely certificate of completion for you, for the school to present to you. And so Father John will call a name, and if you're not here, we'll put it here, and he'll present you with a certificate. And I have water from Spruce Island from St. Herman's Spring.
Wow.
That I have here, and we're going to add that to our good New York water. And there is in that water then a stone from Spruce Island. I carry those in my pocket just to kind of keep in touch with St. Herman. I carry them with my chain. I always have a stone here and there. In fact, most of my pockets. And they all go through the wash occasionally. Rosanne picks these stones out of the washing machine, you know. Hasn't broken it yet. But I carry them with me. And so what I'd like you to do, Father John will bless you with water. He'll, and if you're a priest, of course, you'll take that and you may bless yourself as a priest. And then feel free, if you'd like, take a stone or two with you. Take one for each member of your family. There are plenty here. If you want to take some, if you want them, I have more, but those are there. And please take a stone with you and pick it up out of the water when you come by, and take that home. And let it be remind you of the foundation stones of your parish and the foundational truths that we have worked on here and tried to examine together and translate.
How about we sing It Is Truly Meet,
absolutely.
And then we'll give the certificates and the absolutely. Blessing, and lunch is ready whenever you are upstairs.
Priests, I also have a card here that you can pick up. Anyone can take it. If you like, take it home for your priest if he's not here. But this was written by Lynn Breck at a stage when Father John Breck was going through a very difficult time in his priesthood. And she wrote this for him personally and gave it to him as his wife and as a means of encouragement. And they have shared it now and made it available. But I give it to you for encouragement to have as well as a takeaway with you today. Read it and hold it dear and believe it. Practice it. Let's see.
In South Carolina, we begin this hymn by saying this, Thee, Thou, Corruption.
Father David, if you spoil up your family, we can get a cat and icon for singing.
Actually, I have the next
John.
One is,
everybody's
this is,
huh? Everybody's been saying it differently.
I know.
Yeah, that's why you say it.
What we say, Thee, Thou, Corruption.
That's Spruce Island, by the way, these pictures you're seeing, and here we have an icon.
There you are.
That's that's the coffin, the sarcophagus of St. Herman at Holy Resurrection Cathedral.
So who's a tone giver?
To Theotokos, ever blessed and most pure, and the Mother of our God, more honorable than the cherubim, and more glorious beyond compare than the seraphim. Without corruption thou gavest birth to God the Word. True Theotokos we magnify thee. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Father, bless.
O God, our God, who sent forth your only begotten Son for our salvation, send down your Holy Spirit upon these, your servants, that they may proclaim your good news and share your love. Travel with them now and deliver them from all agitation, slander, and the devices of the evil one. Keep them strong in body and soul, so that they may be a light to those still in darkness. Grant that they may fulfill your command to make disciples of all nations. May their service be pleasing in your sight, glorifying your most holy and magnificent name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.
Amen.
On life, peace, health, salvation, visitation, furtherance, and all good things without grant, O Lord, to thy servants, all the students here gathered of our mission school, their families and friends, and preserve them for many years.
Спасения сограни и вас подино многое это No gaya yata, Vastrami, Vastrasenya, Sakani, Ivasvari, No gaya yata, Vastrami,
You have been listening to a recorded session of the OCA Mission School. For more information on missions and evangelism, go to the OCA website at www.oca.org or the Department of Evangelization website at goodnews.oca.org. For more information on how you can support such programs in the Orthodox Church in America, go to the Stewards of the Orthodox Church in America website at oca.org/become-a-steward.